Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A story from the life of Bishop Fulton Sheen tells about a time that he was supposed to speak in Philadelphia. Though he was unfamiliar with the city, he still decided to walk from his hotel to the town hall all on his own. And he ended up, of course, getting hopelessly lost. Well, he saw some young people and asked them for directions, and one of the kids said, "What are you going to do there?" The bishop said, "Well, I'm going to give a talk." "About what?" the kid asked. "On how to get to heaven. Would you like to come along?" "Are you kidding?" the wisecracking kid said. "You don't even know how to get to town hall." Sometimes our own wisdom gets in the way of our best intentions. Bishop Sheen thought that he'd get where he was going on his own. Instead, he ended up with egg on his face. So let me ask, speaking about wisdom, when you think about wisdom, what comes to your mind? What things do you associate with being wise? What about action? Action. Do you associate wisdom with action? Looking at the Old Testament lesson today, out of Proverbs, wisdom is defined by what she does, isn't it? Let's read the first three verses from the lesson out loud together. "Wisdom has built her house. She has set up its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set the table. She has sent out her servants." Look at how wisdom is defined here. It's by her actions that wisdom is known. She has built, hewn, prepared, mixed, set her table, sent out servants, and calls out to the people. Wisdom is understood here not by attitudes, nor is it shown in the pontification of some strange deep thoughts. Wisdom is known by what she does. Wisdom isn't simply knowledge or a state of being. Wisdom is shown, it's revealed by what a person does and how a person acts. And that leads us then to verses 15 through 17 of the epistle lesson, where St. Paul tells us this: "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." The idea here seems to be, how do we walk through our day? Are we wise? Are we careful? Do we avoid foolishness? And what about what we talked about last week? Do we cling to what the will of the Lord is that we know and walk in that? Being wise in our walking, like what Bishop Sheen needed to do, consider what is it that makes for a wise walker? How long does it take in the morning for us to take hold of the day and realize that our actions depend on the attitude of our heart? In other words, when does it kick in for us that God has given us another day to live for Him, and that we can make choices in what we say and what we do, and we can make choices to reflect His love to those around us? If wisdom is reflected in the actions and words that we use, then what guides those choices is important. If we fear, If we give deference to the things of this world and the passions and appetites of our sinful natures, then that is what we fear. And that is what guides our choices and actions. But if we fear God, and if we rely on His will and His word and His wisdom, then we will make other choices, like in the gospel lesson today. After talking about His flesh being the bread of life, after saying this, many of Jesus' followers stopped following Him. They no longer walked with Him. Why? Because what He had said about Him giving His life for the world and about eating His life-giving flesh, that was a wisdom they would not accept. Oh, they accepted the signs and the wonders He did, but it was the truth from His teaching that confronted them. Oh, they wanted more of the bread signs, but not the truth found in His words. They found those to be hard. If we're honest, so do we. That's hard for us to understand. So they chose to no longer follow Him, to no longer walk with Him. They let earthly fear guide them away from walking with Jesus. Well, that's common even today. We need to bear in mind that the gospel is foolishness to the unbeliever. We need to keep that in mind. Don't be discouraged or surprised that people reject you when you share the truth of the gospel. Even many of His own followers rejected Jesus. And Jesus is the truth that they rejected. People fear Jesus. They fear Him, and so they do one of two things. They turn and walk away, or they walk with Him. They walk with Him in faith. It was true then, and it's true today as well. It must be remembered that none of us, if we're honest, fully understand what it means for Jesus to be both God and man and speak as He does. The unity of the two natures in Christ is not an easy truth to embrace. The great church father, Cyril of Alexandria, said, "But how it, the teaching of the two natures in Christ, does this, our minds cannot comprehend, nor our tongues describe, but we accept it with silence and faith unwavering." Jesus is us, and yet He is not. He is earthly and heavenly, human and divine. That is something to fear. We fear that because it's not something we can fully take in or grasp. In fact, Jesus in the gospel lesson today makes it clear that He understands our fear. He not only tolerates it, you can even read it in one way that He encourages it. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. He's putting it to them to stay, even in the face of those who leave because of their fear of what Jesus had said. Remember that Jesus has spoken of giving His flesh for the life of the world, that we are to eat His flesh and so receive life. We're to drink His blood and so remain in Him who is the bread of life eternal. Verse 60. On hearing it, many of His disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" And they are correct. Only by the gift of faith that God gives, Can such a teaching be received and accepted and walked in? Yes, it is hard. But as St. Peter said in response to Jesus' question, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" he said, "You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." Now, some of those are familiar words from verse 68 because we repeat them often. But Peter's meaning is further defined in verse 69. Jesus is the Holy One of God. And there is no other place where both wisdom and life are found. It is in Jesus alone that we will find ourselves walking wise. Only as we remain in Him will we grow in our relationship with the only wise God of heaven. Now, we can never make ourselves ready for that walk. We don't ever dare say that we qualify ourselves as being prepared to walk with Him. That's because we can't, of ourselves, make ourselves ready. And He doesn't want us to wait till we think we've got it figured out and then come to Him. We can't figure it out any more than the disciples who walked away did. Nor can we better prepare ourselves than the 12 who stayed, who also couldn't figure it out. With Peter, we say, "Where else are we to go?" We can never master our fear on our own. Now, we know that Jesus, before He went up to heaven following His resurrection from the dead, He promised to return. And that when He returns, He will judge the world. Keeping that in mind then, thinking about that, in truth, Jesus is a greater threat than our earthly fears or understanding. After all, Jesus is the righteous judge who will come back and in His wisdom pronounce His judgment about who will go to heaven and who will go to hell. On the day Jesus comes back, He will be revealed as the King of Kings, who returns to judge this world. He is the one who alone holds the power to condemn to hell or to grant clemency by His blood shed on the cross, and so call you into His heavenly home by the power of His resurrection. There is nothing on this earth that we need fear, not even our own ignorance. Nothing on this earth can force you into doing or into saying anything, since nothing on this earth is really of any true threat to you. When you are in the presence of God, and you do enter the presence of God by Jesus' blood and righteousness, when you're in God's presence daily by prayer, there is nothing you need fear. Nothing. Because of Jesus' death on the cross and His resurrection from the grave, you have been drawn to Jesus. And as we said last week, been put into Jesus' hand and can never be taken out of there. So now, you can choose how you will walk each day because you are under no fear of anything in this world. You live only in the proper and the right fear of God. Now, that fear, godly fear, as Proverbs tells us today, is the what? The beginning of wisdom. And in that fear is a paradox that only Christians face. I want to close with a story to help us walk wise and in the paradox of godly fear. Imagine a courtroom. A judge robed in black enters through a side door and the crowd grows quiet. One more. Stan. Thank you. He takes his seat up high in front. A trembling prisoner, handcuffed, is led into the room for sentencing. As he looks up at the judge, his heart sinks in fear. He has good reason to fear, because the judge is about to pass a very harsh but just sentence on him. All of a sudden, a little boy enters the room through another door, another side door, and he happily hops up the steps to the judge's chair and whispers something in the judge's ear. The judge reaches into his pocket and gives the young boy some coins, and the boy happily goes skipping out of the courtroom. The little boy had no fear of the judge because the man robed in black was his father. And so it is with you and I. In Christ, we become the children of God. We have been adopted by grace into his eternal family. So we now approach our Heavenly Father confidently because he has taken care of our need for righteousness by providing us with his own. But we have been judged, like that prisoner, as condemned. But we have been spared for the sake of him who died on the cross in our place. And this then becomes our paradox. We are both. We are both the condemned man, and we are also the little child. We are condemned by our sin, but we are justified by the mercy of the righteous judge who in Jesus Christ has made us his own child. So we now need not fear anything on this earth. We are free to walk in the wisdom of God, for we know what it is to be both in fear for our lives and to be totally set free by the will and the grace of God alone, by faith alone. We're free to do wisdom. We're free to walk the way of the wise and to make the most of our days, because it is by the cross alone that we come into the presence of our loving and merciful God and find that there, in him, do we live and move and have our being. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please.